At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warmer from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We are back full-time on this podcast, as you got a nice little taste last week with the Soul Series. Now every single day for, I would say, 7-plus months until late October, early November, I'll be with you guys daily taking a look at all these games that we've got on the board. We're going to have a bunch of great guests, and we're going to have a lot of fun this baseball season. As joining me in segment number 2, we're going to be joined by William Bohr. He does great work over at Action Network. In a past life, he was over there at MLB Pipeline as well. He's joined this podcast quite a bit in the past, and it's going to be great to get him aboard. We're going to talk a little bit with him about some of the season win totals that he likes. I personally am not someone that does a lot of season win totals, so if you're looking for like a Greg Peterson season win total podcast or anything like that, you're not going to find it, but that said, I know that many of you guys are, so we want to help you guys out that are, while at the same time being able to accentuate my forte of more game-to-game handicapping, which I'll be doing that in the last segment. We've got 13 games on the board for this opening day of the baseball season. Unfortunately, we got some postponements out there in the northeast part of the country, so won't be seeing Braves, Phillies, or Brewers versus Mets, but we still have a nice opening day. Gonna get you guys picks and analysis on all 13 of those games as we touch them all. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, this is always open for you guys. So if you don't have one day two, but one pops up a few weeks from now, always do fire it in one of two ways. My Twitter/X feed, always a preferred one, at GUnit_D1, to remind you. The letters DM, they mean does not matter. It's just a big giant black hole with regards to my DMs. I get so many people that ask to grade their 17 parlay, and it's the same every single time. It stinks. Don't do a 17 parlay. But that said, with regards to just sending in questions, send it into the timeline. I'll be more than happy to answer it on this podcast. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. This first segment going to be a little bit shorter than what we're going to be getting throughout the season, because typically, much like for those of you guys that are familiar with my college basketball podcast, I'm going to recap what we saw the day before, spotlight some trends, things like that. Obviously, with us only having 2 games thus far this season, which, if you took that first DK Network write-up pick of the over in Game 2 in the Soul Series, you got there very easily. So we start out 1-0, and yes, I'll be doing a write-up every single day with regards to baseball. And for these couple days of crossover in terms of college basketball and baseball, we'll do a write-up for both. So I'm going to be serving both fronts there, but we'll be having those throughout the season. Quite frankly, I just don't remember what my record was a season ago. I think that when I was taking a look, it was something like 54-55%, something like that. And as we know, records with regards to baseball, you want to be looking at units rather than percentages. But I do my best to keep the juice relatively reasonable. Like the write-up that I'm going to be doing today, it's going to be on a money line of about minus 115 in a lot of spots. I'm not going to give you guys like something terrible where it's like, oh, I encourage you to lay money -$3 on the Dodgers. You're not going to get that junk. That's just padding the record for padding the record. I do despise those people, and I am not going to be going to stoop to those fronts. I want to try to get something profitable, and sometimes it does have to be north of -110. Like, I mean, it's one of those cases where you have to try to find line. You don't want to be, like, jacking up record. At the same time, value is value. If you think something is going to hit at, like, 75%+, and you're laying -150, that's a really, really good bet to make. And I think that that's so important to remind people, and that's big in baseball, because many of you that are listening to this, a lot of you are used to spread sports with, like, college basketball with regards to the NFL, and when it comes to baseball, you are still betting numbers and not teams. With baseball, it's a little bit more tricky because it is money lines, and in a lot of cases, run lines as well. And when it comes to the spreadsheet, you're going to notice I've got both money line prices and run line prices on there. I only bet one of the money line or the run line. I do not take both, so do want to make that very clear. And I always, with regards to the run line, make the team that I personally have favored the -1.5 line, and the team that is an underdog the +1.5 line. So if you do see a sports book that has a different favorite, that is going to look a little bit funky, but you do have alternate lines as well. Typically in a lot of books, if you find a team as an underdog, you're able to take an alternate line where you're still able to lay -1.5 if you decide to go that route as well. So something that has become a little bit more prevalent here in baseball over the last few years, which I am very much for, but getting back to just taking a look at value, I think that it is a very important reminder. And I know that there's going to be quite a few of you that play a lot of props. Like if you look at the George Kirby walks prop, to get under 1.5 walks for him, that might be like -170, -175, and you're probably thinking, oh, that's a lot of juice. But if he's going under that number in 80% of his starts, that's actually really, really profitable. Whereas taking a look at like a +$2 money line on the Rockies, if they only win that game 30% of the time, that's not very profitable. So I do think that that's worth reminding people as well. This is going to be a podcast that is going to be going full game as well, because I've tried first fives. I've just never really had a lot of success with it, because I am someone that I very much do look at the bullpens. You're going to notice in a lot of my game breakdowns that I do point out a lot of these guys in the bullpen, how rock solid / not rock solid they are, and a lot of the teams that they are going to be dealing with some injuries with regards to bullpen. Good news is everyone is fresh this time of year. You don't have any bullpens where it's like, oh, they're just completely gassed, because we're just coming out of spring training, everything like that. We're going to be spotted lighting home and road splits as well. I think that those are very big in baseball as well. And we're going to do everything humanly possible to be able to make you guys a little bit of money. Certainly with regards to some of the prices I give you guys, like in terms of run lines I was talking about a little bit before, a team like the LA Dodgers, where they win so many of their games by multiple runs, you're going to be a little bit more likely to get a run line from them rather than a money line. But we always try to parse it out. And there are some times where I know that you're going to ask me this with regards to if a game is very close to my line, like I set the favorite at a -115 and the underdog at a +115, because I go with a no juice line. The juice is for books to be able to make money. If you have one team at a -115, the other one should be a +115 if you've got just equal value on both sides. But you're going to notice that sometimes I'll place a favorite at a -115. A book might have like -120 on one side, even money on another. It's a case where you shop the line, you then dive into what a run line price might be as well, and I just try to parse it out from there. I've never had a situation where a game for baseball has been just exactly on my line. There's no differential between the money line and the run line, and there's no real way to be able to shop it or anything like that to take a look at the run line. There's typically always value on one side or the other. Just sometimes it takes a little bit of line shopping. It takes a little bit of time to let a line just move in general as well, because the last time I saw a baseball line just not move at all, it's going to be the first time. Even if it's just a few pennies of difference, that could be the difference between a play on one side and a play on the other. So I do think that that is very important to be reminding people of. But it is a case where with regards to just lines that are very tight to my own, typically I will just hold off a little bit, let the action itself decide where it's going to guide me and what way I'm going to be taking a look at that game. And we do oftentimes see, a lot of times just before first pitch, a lot of seam come in as well. There are going to be some times where if it's relatively tight, I will wait relatively close to first pitch. So hopefully that answers anything that you might have. And like I said, Twitter/XFeed@GNR_41. Any questions, more than happy to answer those. And we're going to give you guys some answers with regards to a few teams that William Bohr is a little bit bullish/bearish on. As I was saying, I don't do a ton of futures, but I know that many of you guys do. So we're going to get on someone that has quite a nice feel with regards to some of these season wins. We're going to talk quite a bit about the NL West as well. Certainly a theme of fascination with everything that's happening with the LA Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, and much more. And William Bohr, he does an amazing job taking a look at this great game of baseball over at Action Network. And he joins me next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. It is great to be joined by this man as he does a tremendous job over at Action Network. He's doing a little bit of everything, paying attention to what we're all getting here in the NCAA tournament and college basketball. I know that he used to work over there at MLB Pipeline. He does an amazing job taking a look at this great game of baseball. I know that he's taking a look at things both game to game and a little bit from a futures perspective, as well as we've got William Bohr aboard. You're able to find him on Twitter/X at his first letter of his first name, the letter W, and then his last name, Bohr, B-O-O-R, all together. And William, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here. Excited for the baseball season coming up real soon and should be a fun one.
Absolutely. It is going to be a lot of fun. And just when you take a look at these teams, not necessarily even from a futures betting perspective, but just coming into the year, are there a few teams that you have highlighted that when you listen to people and how they're viewing them coming into the season, you just feel like they're either getting a little bit more love than they deserve, or maybe they're just flying a little bit under the radar?
I think the Braves are flying a little bit under the radar, which is weird to say because, you know, their win total is super high and everyone thinks they're going to be good. But I think the Dodgers doing what they did over the offseason has stolen so much media attention and so much oxygen that I think people are forgetting that there are other good teams out there. So I think the Braves somehow have managed to fly under the radar despite winning 104 games last year and going to be really good again this year, obviously. And frankly, that whole division, the NL East, is going to be very intriguing.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that you bring that up because the LA Dodgers, they are the team that everyone has been talking about here in the offseason. And when you spend north of $1 billion on contracts between two guys like they did, you know what? People are going to be talking about that. But how much do you think the Shohei Ohtani situation should be something that bettors are taking a look at, if anything at all? Because I no doubt about it, it is probably going to be affecting Shohei Ohtani when it comes to an off-the-field perspective. But if you looked at that one game that they played ever since the news had broken, I mean, Shohei Ohtani didn't hit any home runs in that game in South Korea, but I mean, he drove the ball to the warning track quite a few times. He didn't appear to be affected there. But I do think that that's a very curious question, and I don't know if we're really going to have a clear answer until we actually see it out there on the field.
Yeah, I don't know how much is going to affect them, but I sure know it's not going to help. I think the Dodgers, being the Dodgers, being in LA, they were already going to have a ton of attention anyway. Then, as you mentioned, they go out and they spend $1 billion in the offseason. All that attention gets ratcheted up even more. It was already going to be a team under a microscope, even if everything was going well. Now you throw this on top, and I think it's just one more thing. I don't know if it'll affect Ohtani directly so much, but the one thing I'm kind of curious about is Ohtani, and this is his right, but he doesn't talk to the media a ton. It's been that way ever since he was in the Angels. He always kind of just, you know, let the other stuff go. Well, the media is still going to have their questions. So how much is this going to wear on Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and whoever ends up having to get asked about this constantly?
And with that as well, I know that Yamamoto was actually sharing the same interpreter as Shohei Ohtani as well. And we saw him in that first start. I don't think that's fully due to this situation. I think the part of it is now coming over from Japan, first real true game with a pitch clock, things like that. But he got absolutely shelled there as well. So it actually does, in my opinion, trickle a little bit past Shohei Ohtani as well, to your point, as William Border does great work over at Action Network, is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And that is certainly going to be a situation that we're going to be talking about for a while. And I do know that you're taking a look at quite a few of those NL West teams with regards to their season win totals. And if I'm not mistaken, you actually are going to be fading the Dodgers a little bit on that front.
Yeah, I was on the Dodgers under 104 wins even before all this broke. And that was more, look, fading the Dodgers is scary. They're very, very good. Even if this affects them, they're still going to be very good. But that was just a play on the number. And 104.5 is ridiculously high. It's the highest MLB win total we have an article of in a really long time, possibly ever, I forget. It's just a lot. Since the Seattle Mariners got 116 wins in 2001, only 7 teams have gone over 104.5 wins. So I was just playing the number there, thinking they're going to go under it. And part of that is, yes, they're obviously going to rack up wins against the Rockies, but I think the Diamondbacks, Giants, and Padres are all going to be good too, making those division wins a little tough to come by.
I do think that that is going to be really tough as well when you just get up that high, and especially with the way that the NL West is improved. I think that that's the biggest thing as well because, well, I'm not banking on the Colorado Rockies having a good year. I think that's going to be a long, sad year for them, but I know you played a few other win totals out there in the NL West, and I think that it is going to be intriguing to see what the Giants do because I wasn't necessarily a fan of them canning Gabe Kapler, but the fact that they get Blake Snell late in the process, it might take him a little bit of time to be able to get ramped up and good to go. But I thought that that was massive for a Giants team that was pretty much a Johnny Wholesale staff with not a lot of guys outside of Logan Webb that didn't require an opener. And being able to get Blake Snell in there with their pitching depth already being very high, I thought that that was massive for them.
Yeah, I agree. So the Giants won 79 games last year. Their win total this year was 81.5. So we're just talking 3 wins. I think Blake Snell, you mentioned getting rid of Kapler. Bob Melvin is a very good manager. I think Snell and Melvin could probably get you your 3 wins right there. Logan Webb, really good starter. I'm really high on Kyle Harrison. I think he showed some strides last year. I think he's going to be good for them. Young starter, obviously. When you have a 22-year-old starter, there's a lot of question marks and you're going off of projections and stuff. But that's where I think my background at MLB Pipeline either helps me because I know him, or maybe it hurts me because I'm too confident in prospects and, you know, fell in love with them too much when I was covering the system. But I really like what they did in the offseason. Before the Snell signing, they didn't necessarily have a huge splash, but Harrison, Webb, Patrick Bailey showed some signs last year. I like the Young Ho Lee signing. Jorge Soler, a little bit of boost of offense. I know it's not exactly a hitter-friendly park there, but he's got massive power, should be able to hit a few home runs there. I just think this team is going to take a step forward this year. I mean, we're talking 81.5. I don't necessarily think they're going to, you know, win 90 games and stun the Dodgers and win the division or anything, but I do think they can get to 82.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And the biggest key for the Giants is what you were alluding to, that offense, because the pitching was actually just fine in the second half of the season. That offense went from pretty competent to just not being able to produce anything towards the back half of the season, which is why they did tail off. And being able to bring in guys like Soler and company, I think, is really going to be able to help them out, as William Bohr, who does great work over at Action Network, is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And then when it comes to the NL West, I know you're taking a look at the team that made it to the World Series last year. That'd be the Arizona Diamondbacks. Lots of intrigue around this team as they barely sneak into the playoffs last year. They make it all the way to the World Series, but you know as well as I do, this was a very young team when they made the World Series last year, so there could be some growing pains, but I know you've got a little bit of a take on their season win total as well.
Yeah, not going to lie. I've played the Diamondbacks over their win total the past couple years, and when they made the World Series run, I was kind of disappointed because I was like, oh, this might inflate it a couple more wins now that they're kind of popping on the national stage. But I still like it at 83.5. Obviously, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly proved really good last year. But I think the thing that has me excited is Brandon Pfaadt's postseason run. He was so dominant on the mound in the postseason. And if that gives this team another really good starter, then I think that's obviously good. You can never have too much pitching. Alec Thomas is someone who we were really high on as a prospect. He's a really good defender. He kind of struggled a little bit offensively, I think, last year. I think he might be able to take another step forward. And then obviously at the top of the order there, you've got Corbin Carroll, who can do everything, absolutely electric player. And I'm not going to lie, just put a little sprinkle on him to win NL MVP at 18-1 because he can do everything. He can steal bases, and he's the kind of player who can rack up a bunch of stats in a bunch of different categories, make highlight plays defensively. And if he stays healthy all year, which has been kind of a struggle for him going back to his days in the minors, but if he can play a full year and produce the way he's capable of, especially if the Diamondbacks do go over this number, he might be in the MVP conversation.
Yep, and I think that that's actually a really good look on the MVP for Corbin Carroll. Obviously not going to be the favorite when you've got Ronald Acuna Jr. over there with the Atlanta Braves, but really liked what I saw from him last year, and I think that he's going to continue to ascend after winning Rookie of the Year. And we're going to stay out there in the West, but take a look at an American League team, because this team is of fascination, to say the least. I don't know how many fans they're going to be getting this year, but the Oakland A's have a win total of 57.5. Fortunately, they're actually going to have a competent starter day number one. Alex Wood, it looks like, is going to be getting the season day opening start. They took a few veterans that they're finding just on very, very cheap contracts in general. Alex Wood was one of them, but how do you view the Oakland A's and their win total of 57.5?
I mean, they won 50 games a year ago, and I just don't see how they got 8 wins better. I know they were a little bit unlucky in the first half last year, played a little better after the All-Star break, but this team, there's no way around it. This team's bad. They don't have a ton of talent on the roster. Tyler Soderstrom, Shea Langeliers, they have some interesting young players, but I don't think those two are going to carry a team. Like, I'd be much higher on those two if they were complementary pieces in a better lineup on some other team. I just don't trust the A's at all. I think we were talking about the Dodgers having distractions earlier. You know, you've got whatever's going on with A's ownership, relocation. I mean, this team's got all sorts of distractions. You know, midway through the year, already, you know that they're going to be sellers at the deadline. The season hasn't started yet, and we already know they're going to ship off pieces in July. So you got that going for you. And then the other thing is, who are they going to beat in this division? I mean, I guess they could pick up some wins against the Angels, but the Mariners are going to be good. The Rangers are good. The Astros are good. There's just a lot of tough games on their schedule, and I just don't see how they improve 8 wins from last year.
I'm right there with you. I think that's going to be rough for the Oakland A's once again. They might be able to pick up a few wins, but man, at the same time, it's just brutal for the team. And I like Zach Aloff. I like some of these younger guys as well. And I do think that there are a few guys that do have a little bit of upside. But once again, as you just brought up, are these guys actually going to be with the team at the end of the year as well? So it could get really, really rocky, really, really late for them. As joining me on the show, we do have William Bohr over at Action Network here on the Baseball Betting Show. And then I'm intrigued by this team as well, because the Cleveland Guardians last year had some amazing pitching. The problem was their offense, it was just amazingly bad. Right now, their win total is at 79.5, but you know as well as I do, this is a very winnable division out there in the American League Central. Fully recognize that teams like the Tigers took a little bit of a stride forward. And I don't think the Royals are going to be quite as awful as they were a season ago. Really like what Cole Ragans brings to the table for them. But talk to me about the Cleveland Guardians and what is going to be legitimately one of the weakest divisions in all baseball.
I'm on their over on the win total. And for me, this is both a bet on the Guardians as much as it is a fade on the rest of the AL Central. I just don't have a lot of faith in those other teams. And I think Cleveland is always solid. It won 76 games last year, so would have gone under this. But excluding the COVID shortened 2020, they've gone over this number in 9 of the past 10 seasons. So I just think this team has such a high floor because it's a well-run organization. I think when you've got Jose Ramirez, Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, I think there's a lot to like. The one thing that scares me is I know Bieber late last season, all over the offseason, there's always been kind of some trade rumors floating. So if they get off to a slow start, I would be worried. But I think that this division is not strong enough, as you alluded to, that I think they'll be in it. And I think that'll prevent them. They may not be buyers, but I think it might prevent them from being sellers, which is definitely what I need here.
And what else I think is so important is that we were seeing with Shane Bieber last year, his velocity just appeared to be down. He wasn't getting as many strikeouts. And I've just seen him in spring training this year. He's not the same guy that won the Cy Young Award a few years ago when he was getting like 14 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he just looks a lot more solid. And how much are you taking a look at these guys and how they're performing in spring training? And more importantly, just looking to make sure that there's not things like a velocity dip, because I think that that is so important to be taking a look at with regards to spring training.
More so like velocity dip, health. I'm not putting much in performance, especially of veterans. I know what I'm getting from veteran players. Rookies, I'm more curious, or at least, you know, first, second year players. But overall in spring training, it's not like a thorough deep dive. It's more of a like, do you look like who I know you are? Okay, cool. As long as nothing's glaring and jumping off the page, then I'm good to go. And I'm not putting too much stock into how they're performing or anything like that.
Yep, I'm right there with you. These veterans, they know how to be able to ramp up. When you got a guy like, a big reason why I took the over in the Padres versus Dodgers game a few days ago was that I was noticing that Yoshi Yamamoto, he was just not performing well in spring training. With this being his first go-around in Major League Baseball, I thought, all right, he might struggle a little bit there. We'll be a little bit less concerned if that's a guy that's been in Major League Baseball for 5 or 6 years rather than a guy that is going to be making his first roster on an opening day roster in the MLB. So I think that that's so important to be taking a look at. And William, I know you're doing a great job taking a look at this great game of baseball and taking a look at a little bit of everything over at Action Network. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and on Blue Sky, actually, at WBOR, WBOOR. Otherwise, check out everything on actionnetwork.com and in the Action app. That's where all my bets are public. All of our experts for baseball, obviously, but every single other sport is all in the app. Ton of good content, daily best bets, odds, everything you need to hopefully make some money with us this baseball season.
Absolutely. And William does such an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. And it's always great to be able to get him aboard. A big thanks to William for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this opening day of the baseball season as we touch them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and it was great to be able to get William aboard. He does amazing work over at Action Network taking a look at this great game of baseball. It is going to be an absolutely tremendous season. It was nice to be able to get a little bit of futures perspective from him, some of the win totals that he likes slash doesn't like, as I'm a little bit more of a game-to-game guy. You can count on me day in and day out to give you guys my picks and analysis on all these games. And William, he does an amazing job taking a look at this sport as well. I remember he was doing great work a few years ago taking a look at the up-and-coming prospects over at MLB Pipeline. Now he does a great job giving out tremendous betting advice. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time in the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game for this opening day Thursday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these displays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @GNR41. For those that know the college basketball podcast, baseball rotation order is much more clean. It starts with the National League games first, all in time order. Then we go with the American League games in time order, and then Interleague games. Those are at the bottom, so you don't have anything convoluted like a random MAC game at 7 p.m. being at the top of the board, and then noon games being in the middle or anything like that. They actually do a halfway decent job of ordering these baseball games, so that is very much appreciated. Now, what is not appreciated is the first two games on the board. Those are going to be games that we are not getting. 901, 902, 903, 904. That was supposed to be Brewers versus Mets, Braves versus Phillies. Those games got postponed. There's no money to be made. We'll be breaking those down when we get those matchups tomorrow, hopefully. But that said, we start things off instead with 905, 906 on the card. The Washington Nationals, they're on the road. They're facing off against the Cincinnati Reds. And yes, we are on to Cincinnati. And they're on to Frankie Montas getting the start for them. And Josiah Gray is on the bump for Washington. Washington is an underdog of between +130 and +135. Anywhere between -142 to -155, your number on the Reds. Total on this game is 9. The overs anywhere between even money and -115. And the under, that is between -120 and -105. And I did set the Reds as a -146 favorite. Seeing a lot of -142, -145 out there. Wouldn't want to lay anything more than that, but I'm going to be willing to lay it with the Cincinnati Reds. The biggest reason why is because I actually do think that the Nationals have a little bit of a starting pitching advantage. You have Josiah Gray, just throughout his career, he's been a better pitcher on the road than he has been at home. Each of the last few seasons, he's had a lower ERA on the road rather than at home. But if you do take a look at the fielding independent, he does give up quite a bit of hard contact. He's been a little bit fortunate on some of those balls in play. And for Josiah Gray last season, a little bit of a concern for me was the fact that he was giving up about 4.5 walks per 9 innings. And in your first start of the season, pitch count is going to be very big. Now, I just don't think you're going to get a ton out of Frankie Montas in general as well. I mean, this is someone who I think that he was able to make one start last season, but for Frankie Montas, he is really trying to work his way back, but I liked what I saw from him from the spring. It wasn't necessarily a ton that we saw from him, but I do think that Frankie Montas could be able to bounce back a little bit here. He didn't necessarily have the world's greatest ERA or anything like that, but you can tell that the stuff was coming back to him. He did give up the 4 home runs, so that is going to be a little bit rough, but he is going up against the Washington Nationals team that, while they do a great job of being able to get on base, this is a team that last year, they were like number 2, number 3 in the National League in terms batting average. Just where's the pop going to be coming from for this team, as you've got CJ Abrams, who did a nice job being able to reach base last season. He's got some good wheels, and I think that there's a lot of upside there. Luis Garcia is relatively solid. Joey Meneses, I mean, these are guys that they do a nice job moving the line. They just don't necessarily hit for power. Like, last season, your top home run hitter on this team, you really just didn't get much of anything out of him. That was Lane Thomas. He had 28 home runs. Bass said nobody else really hit north of 18 for the team. I think that CJ Abrams and the now departed Jameer Candelario is going to be on the flip side for the Cincinnati Reds. Those are the two guys that were number 2 and number 3 with that regard. I like the upside of Keibert Ruiz, and I do think that the Nationals are going to be able to force a little bit of the issue onto the Cincinnati Reds. I do think that they're going to get Montas out of the game early, but the Reds bullpen just flat out is one that I trust in much more than that of the Washington Nationals. I liked what I saw last year from closer Alexis Diaz. You've got someone in Fernando Cruz who had his issues last season 2 years ago, had a sub-2 ERA. He's a nice setup man, and then then they bring in Brent Suter. He was actually the lone bright spot that you had for the Colorado Rockies. Now, I'm not necessarily an Emilio Pagan stan or anything like that, but guys like Lucas Sims and company, I like the overall pitchers that you've got coming out of the pen for the Reds and the Nationals last year. They were relatively rough with their bullpen. They've got a few guys that you're able to trust in. Hunter Harvey was actually a halfway decent closer for this bunch. They bring in Matt Barnes. I am not necessarily bullish on Matt Barnes. Tanner Rainey, he pretty much missed the entirety of the season last year, 2 years ago, was relatively solid, but what are you going to be able to get out of him? You've got Jordan Weems back on the roster, but the bullpen is a big giant concern for me for the Washington Nationals, and flat out for the Cincinnati Reds. I do think that this team is going to be able to slug their way to victory. Now, do know, with the Reds bullpen, you've got Ian Gabo, Alex Young, most likely going to be out of the fold to begin the season, but that said, Christian Encarnacion Strand was one of those guys that really popped in spring training for the second straight year. He was able to pick it up towards back half of the season last year. I think Ellie De La Cruz is going to be a little bit more consistent this year. Last season, he was a boomer bust sort of guy, and in the second half of the year, he was a bust, but I think this being his first full season in the league, going to be able to help him out. And then you do have a few guys who are able to move the line. You've got some like a Will Brinson, who I like. Stuart Fairchild was not necessarily the world's greatest last year, but I think that he's going to be able to take some strides forward. They decided to not retain Tony Kemp, or else I would have given them a little bit more infield depth. But now having Jonathan India back in the fold, he's a relatively good leadoff guy. I do think that the Reds are going to do a nice job being able to light up a Washington Nationals bullpen that I think that's going to be their undoing in this one. As a result, I did set the Reds at a -146. I'm willing to lay up to a -145 with them, and did set my total at a 9.3. So seeing the nines, I'm going to be taking a look at the over. By the way, I set my run line price to where I would need more like a +150 or so to take a shot here. Right now, we're seeing that at about a +135. I would rather stick with the money line rather than the run line of the Reds to go along with this total over, as you got a Reds ballpark that's one of the best for hitters out there in all of baseball. 907, 908 on the betting board. The Miami Marlins, they play host to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mitch Keller goes for the Buccos, and Jesus Luzardo is on the bump for Miami. Miami is a favorite of anything between -125 to a -135, pretty much +115 to +120 across the board. Your number on Pittsburgh, 7 to 7.5 is your total. On the 7.5, under is -115, the over is -105, on the 7, over is -120, and the under is even. Semi-total in the middle at a 7.2. Personally, I would rather take the 7.5 under rather than the 7 over. Miami is just such a pitcher-friendly ballpark in general, and this Miami Marlins team, I think that they're once again going to be trying to hang their hat on pitching, because last year they didn't have a lot of offense to start with, and now you're going to be without Jorge Soler. So I do think that this is going to be a bunch that is not going to be generating a whole bunch of offense. I like what Brian De La Cruz is able to bring to the table, and for the Miami Marlins, they're not bad at being able to create contact. This team does a nice job of being able to hit singles. I mean, Luis Arraez, he was able to win the batting title last season in terms of batting average at a .354. Really good leadoff man, but you just take a look at the guys that are returning in terms of power. Brian De La Cruz is like the only guy returning along Jazz Chisholm that had north of 14 home runs last season, so that's a big giant issue for the Miami Marlins. This is very much a team that is embracing small ball, and while I do think that Christian Bethencourt going to be able to help out the catching for this team a little bit, you signed Tim Anderson, he's a little bit washed. Jake Berger was someone that was able to help this team out towards the back half of the season. He's certainly going to be a candidate to give you 20-plus home runs. And I do think that Avisio Garcia is going to be able to pick it up a little bit. But where the Marlins are going to be able to win their games is just with their overall bullpen depth. Like, I like JT Chargois. Oscar Brazoben is someone that's able to do a relatively solid job out of the bullpen. Anthony Bender doesn't sound like a lot, but he's able to give you a 3.25 ERA. And that's going to be big. And then you've got a Cy Young candidate out there in Jesus Luzardo, who was so good at home last season. At home last season, Jesus Luzardo had a sub-3 ERA. His strikeouts per nine rate was one of the best in all of baseball. It was north of 10. Meanwhile, you're going up against someone in Mr. Mitch Keller that, if you looked at him during spring training, big time velocity dip. And Mitch Keller is someone that he had his rough road splits last season as well. He was starting to get really tagged towards the back half of the season, as front half of the season he was actually able to do a really solid job, and then you can tell that towards the back half of the season things just really started to unravel for him. He had an ERA that was well north of 4 after the All-Star break, so you got your issues there. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates right now, David Bednar is dealing with a little bit of an injury in a bullpen that honestly wasn't too bad last season. Aroldis Chapman has been having his issues as well, and I do think that that's going to be so key for a Pittsburgh Pirates team that They've got young stars. Are they going to be able to pop this season is the question. You got Mr. Jack Swinisky, who is an all or nothing hitter. He only hit about a .225 last season, but was able to supply the team with 26 home runs. O'Neill Cruz had 7 home runs during the spring. It looks like he's going to be the real deal, but is he going to be consistent? That's a big question that you've got with him. They signed someone like an Edward Olivares, who comes over from the Royals, and he should be able to give this team a little bit of pop. And then Brian Reynolds, we all know about his consistency. Henry Davis, I think, is going to be able to do a solid job as well, but having to go up against Jesus Cesardo, night number one, him being a lefty and this being a Pirates lineup that in general I think is going to be dealing with some issues against left-handers. I do think that that's rough, and Brian Reynolds, a little bit questionable for this game as well. So this is a circumstance where with the Miami Marlins, I did set them as a favorite. I'm not too bullish on them for the season, but I'm bullish on them in this start, especially with Mitch Keller dealing with his velocity dip. I set this line at minus 148, so going to be one to lay with Marlins. And like I said, between a 7 and 7.5, I'd rather take the 7.5 under rather than the 7 over. 909-910 on the betting board. It is the San Diego Padres, and they play us to the San Francisco Giants. Logan Webb goes for the Giants, and Yu Darvish is on the bump for the Padres. Padres find themselves in between minus 108 to minus 115 favorites, and between even money and minus 105 is your number on the Giants, and total on this game is 7.5 over and under are both at minus 110, and I'm going to be willing to rock with the San Diego Padres. I did set them as a minus 131 favorite. I'd be willing to go up to a minus 130. I think it's really key that you've got someone in Yu Darvish that, I mean, he was over there in South Korea for the Seoul series. This team in general, they were just able to get a little bit of a lather. They were able to get out there, and they were able to get on the field. I think that that is just so key for this team, and I do think that end result is going to give Yu Darvish just a little bit more of a leash here in his first start in the actual United States, because, I mean, he pitched in South Korea. That was not necessarily a lengthy start from, and you could tell that Yu Darvish, you know, he went 3 2/3 innings. He had his walks issues. I think he's going to have far fewer issues against the Giants team that they're revamped. There's no question about it. They've got a new manager. They, in the offseason, were able to make some nice moves. You sign Matt Chapman to be able to help out an offense that, honestly, towards the front half of the season, it wasn't too bad. Back half of the season, this team was towards the bottom of the big leagues in terms of just run creation in general. It was rough. They signed Jungwoo Lee. He's coming over from South Korea. He was really good for, I believe, the Kiwoom Heroes, and we've seen good things out of him during the spring. And Jorge Soler should be able to give this team a little bit more pop as well, because for the Giants, it was a whole is greater than some of its parts offense last season, where really nobody could hit the deep ball for the team. Wilmer Flores led the team with 23 home runs. He was the only guy on the roster that gave you north of 18 home runs. So you had so many guys like J.D. Davis, Lamonte Wade Jr., guys like this that were able to hit like 15, 16, 17 home runs. But you really just need that big thumper in there. So Jorge Soler, he's going to be able to help out on that front end. This is a Giants bullpen that is really, really good. You signed Jordan Nix. I like that signing. Taylor Rogers, along with Tyler Rogers, Rogers Squared, both of these guys should be able to do a solid job, but it's going to be a case where, what do you make out of so many of these guys that they were like pseudo openers last season as well? So you're in a little bit of sticky predicament as well. And I do like the Giants overall bullpen a little bit more than that of the San Diego Padres, but I do think that the Padres bullpen is actually going to be quite good this year. They signed Aniel De Los Santos. That's a really good signing in my opinion. Now, hopefully they stay away from the man that cussed them in game number one, as they got absolutely torpedoed when they threw out their Johnny Brito. But that said, I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot out of him this season. I think that they're going to be sticking with more of these guys that are a bit more trustworthy. Pedro Avila, he might be a guy that starts towards the back half, but with the signing of Dylan Cease, I think that they're able to throw him back in the bullpen. Wani Peralta is a guy that last season had a sub-3 ERA for the New York Yankees, so very bullish on these guys. And for the Padres, a lot of people are going to be taking note that you're going to be without for the entirety of the season Mr. Juan Soto, who's now over with the New York Yankees, but I thought that they got a nice haul in return, and I still look at this lineup and I put it in pretty high regard. I think that Xander Bogaerts, after he had a .285 average with 19 home runs last season, he's going to be able to bounce back. Then you've got Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, two guys that just in the middle of the lineup in general, I expect them to be so solid. And for the San Diego Padres, they were like the most unlucky team at hitting with men in scoring position last season. I do think that a little bit of a changing of the manager, now having Mr. Mike Schilt in the fold, I think that that's going to be able to just breathe a little bit of new life in general. And let's call it what it is. There are some times where in baseball you get a little bit unlucky. If you look at the San Diego Padres, just Pythagorean win theorem, they were a team that they were really, really stinking unlucky last season. And I look at Logan Webb and his home and road splits, and that's something that's very glaring as well. Logan Webb is always someone that I'm very, very willing to back at home, but you take a look at what he did last season when he was at home versus when he was on the road. Pretty night and day difference. At home, 2.26 ERA. His home runs per nine rate when he was at home was about a 0.65. On the road, it was a little bit north of one home run given up for nine innings, 4.31 ERA. Now, it's a very pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in Petco, and I'm just not sure why we're getting a 7.5. I recognize that Yu Darvish had a little bit of a rough go of it last season. I do think that part of it was due to the fact that he was a bit in and out of the fold, and I do think that he's going to be able to bounce back this season, and I think him already getting a start under his belt is so big, but semi-total is 6.9. Here at a 7.5, I do like the under. With the Padres being at home, I do think that they find a way to get the job done here as well. So I'm going to be 1-8 with the San Diego Padres. Did semi-total at 6.9, so also looking at the under. 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. It is the LA Dodgers. They play us the St. Louis Cardinals. Miles Michaelis goes for the Cards, and Tyler Glasnow is on the bump for the Dodgers. Dodgers, one of the biggest favorites out there on the board. You're going to be getting them at between minus 220 to minus 240. Between plus 190 and plus $2 is your number on the St. Louis Cardinals. 8.5 is the total. Over is minus 120. Under is even. And this is one where I take a look at the run line. To lay a run and a half with the LA Dodgers, you're laying anywhere between minus 118 to minus 120. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 125 with the Dodgers run line. And it is so important to be taking a look at some of these splits with these teams as well, because with the LA Dodgers, they have won 100 plus games each out of the last two seasons, but where the Dodgers have really excelled is by winning games by multiple runs. They did not win too many games by just a mere one run last season. They either won the game by multiple runs or they lost it outright. I think that they only had like 17 or 18 one run wins last season with north of 100 overall, and let's call it what it is. With the LA Dodgers, this team is absolutely able to thump. You saw Will Smith in that South Korea series have five hits. He's been signed to a big giant deal. Mookie Betts, he has had a little bit of transition with regards to where he's playing in the field. His bat still rock solid. Had a home run in that series where it was so tough to hit home runs. You've got Shohei Ohtani, which we talk about everything that's swirling around with his translator and everything like that, but you know what? This is a guy that is going to go out there on the field. He's going to give you professional at-bats for as long as he is out there. I have no idea what's happening with that, and that's a conversation for a different podcast on a different day. We are looking to make you money, not dive into those sorts of sticky situations, but with Shohei Ohtani, you know what his bat is going to be, and this LA Dodgers team, I mean, they're just one of the biggest marvels in all baseball. They're consistently in the top three with regards to runs per game, and this LA Dodgers team, towards the back half of the season last year, they were so good with their bullpen. The bullpen took a little bit of time to get going towards the front half of the season last year, but post All-Star break, this was a top three team with regards to their bullpen ERA. Michael Grove, you have to figure, is going to be more of a bullpen piece rather than a starter. Ryan Brazier, the way that he was able to resurrect his career last season, that was massive. He was terrible with Boston, had a 0.70 ERA when he put on the Dodger blue. Now you've got Danny Hudson in the fold. Blake Treinen probably going to be out of the fold to begin the season. And Alex Vesey had a little bit of a rough season last year, but Evan Phillips proved to be one of the best relievers in all baseball. And that's a big key as to why I'm going to be fading the St. Louis Cardinals here as well. For one, Miles Michaelis just isn't very good in general. Like, for Miles Michaelis, this guy gets absolutely tattooed time and time again. He was giving up about 1.25 home runs per nine innings. He doesn't give up a lot of walks, but he doesn't give you any swings and misses whatsoever, but and you couple that with the fact that for the St. Louis Cardinals, really other than Giovanni Gallegos, who he fell apart towards back half of the season as well, along with their all-star closer from a season ago in Ryan Helsley, you really didn't have much in way of bullpen pitching. As a matter of fact, other than Ryan Helsley, you did not have anyone else in the bullpen for the team that ended the season as a St. Louis Cardinal have a sub-3.65 bullpen ERA. And they're trotting out there a lot of the same guys as last season. Like, it's a band of misfit pieces in the bullpen. Andre Pallante really doesn't give you a lot of strikeouts. Ryan Tepera has been a failure throughout the last few seasons. Giovanni Gallegos had his ERA hike up a little bit. I actually do like the signing of Andrew Kittredge. He was very solid with the Tampa Bay Rays, but we oftentimes see guys that sign elsewhere after signing with the Tampa Bay Rays, they do go down the toilet bowl. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, the team is going to have to be all offense because their defense, it's just really not there along with their bullpen pitching. You've got Wilson Contreras behind the dish, and he was actually really good towards back half of the season. You take a look at what Wilson Contreras was able to do. Paul Solstar break, he was hitting well north of 300. That power was coming back from I'm not really bullish on Mason Wynn. We saw him last season, and he just does not look ready for the big leagues. But Nolan Gorman, he was able to give you 27 home runs a season ago. Batting average was a little bit hit or miss. But you know what to expect out of Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. They're going to give you 30-plus home runs. They hit lefties. They hit righties. They do a solid job on both fronts, like what Jordan Walker was able to bring to the table as well. Very rock-solid Cardinals offense. But throwing out their Miles Michaelis, also having the bullpen that they've got, that's an issue. When you go up against someone in Tyler Glass, so that, I mean, he wasn't the world's sharpest in his first start of the season, but that said, this guy last season had north of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's able to perform both at home and on the road. Heck, now being in Dodger Stadium, I think that that's going to be able to help out his numbers even more, as Dodger Stadium is actually a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, but Dodgers always put up runs just because they always have the most fearsome offense out there in all baseball, and I do think that Tyler Glass now going to be able to do a solid job here for the Dodgers. I do think that, once again, pitch count is going to be relatively low on him, just because with Glass now, he's had a history of injury, so I think he might be out there relatively soon. So I did set that with regards to the total. I set my total at a 9.2. So seeing the 8.5s and 9s that we're seeing, I'm going to be willing to take a look at the over. But with the Dodgers, willing to lay up to minus 125 with regards to that run line. 9.13, 9.14 on the betting board. The Colorado Rockies hit the road to face off against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen goes for the Sinks, and Kyle Freeland is on the bump for Colorado. 8.5 is the total. Over and under are both at minus 110. With Arizona, they're between minus 220 to minus 245. Between plus 190 and plus $2 is your number on Colorado, and I set the Arizona Diamondbacks at minus 232 on the money line. If you're taking a look at the run line, you're going to be laying between minus 115 to a minus 120. Wouldn't want to lay much more than a minus 115 to a minus 120 with the Diamondbacks, but I'm willing to lay it here, set my run line at a minus 121. This Rockies team is just really hard to back. Now, the one thing that's going to help out the Rockies in this game is typically they're going from elevation back to sea level, back up to elevation, back to sea level. With them having spring training out there in Arizona, they aren't dealing with that quite as much because the ball, it just travels differently with regards to how they're seeing the curveball, what have you. So that's actually a little bit of advantage for the Colorado Rockies. Problem is, I just don't think that they're going to be able to take advantage of it because this team just flat out stinks. Their big offseason signing was Jake Cave. For a team that, in general, when they're on the road, last two seasons, dead last in the National League in terms of runs per game, you just don't have a lot of guys that are able to thump for this team as well. Ryan McMahon was the only guy that exceeded 20 home runs last season for this bunch. Now, I actually like Nolan Jones. Nolan Jones, last season, he hit about 300 in 106 games. He was able to give the team 20 home runs. He's actually a real deal player. He was able to hit a little bit on the road as well, so I actually like what he's able to bring to the table. That said, you take a look at this Rockies team when they're away from home, and man, they hit about 40 points lower typically. Their run differentials are just absolutely massive, and they just don't have a lot of guys in general that have a lot of MLB experience and just have been able to excel. Like Jacob Stallings, Elias Diaz at the catcher spot, that's probably their most rock-solid position right now. Chris Bryant, when he's been out there, he's been able to give you a little bit of something, but he played 80 games last season with 10 home runs at a 233 average. That contract is right now looking like a big giant albatross. What are you going to be able to get out of Brenton Doyle and guys like this? Charlie Blackman is still a relatively good professional hitter, but even he has had his issues the last few seasons going up against an Arizona Diamondbacks team that they're very young, but you have to sense that they're going to be able to build off of the World Series run that they made last season. You've got Ketel Marte of the Marte Party who does a nice job in the infield, and Arizona has actually become a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark ever since the humidor changes that we've seen the last few seasons. This has been a ballpark that hasn't given up as many home runs, and the Diamondbacks, they don't necessarily have a lot of home run power, but they do sign in the offseason, and Eugenio Suarez, he had 22 home runs last season with Seattle, but keep in mind, Seattle, very pitcher-friendly ballpark. We should see those numbers increase. Christian Walker, he towards the middle part of the season was an absolute monster. Does a great job getting on base, north of 30 home runs, and under the radar, like the signing of Randall Grichuk, prior to him getting traded by the, I believe it was Colorado Rockies over to the LA Angels, he was actually very rock solid, and then with the LA Angels, things just fell apart for that team in general. He was just in a very big mess in general, but you also get Jock Peterson, someone who's able to give you a little bit of power. Lourdes Gurriel, he was very solid towards back half of the season. Corbin Carroll, you got to figure that he's going to be an MVP candidate. He steals a bunch of bases at the leadoff spot slash the number two spot. He's able to give you 25 plus home runs, hits for really really good average, and this Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen, it looks to be a little bit better this year as well, as they had their issues towards the back half of the season last year in the regular season with regards to bullpen. But Miguel Castro, even though he's not necessarily the world's most trustworthy guy, Joe Mantiply, a full season for him after he's been banged up the last few seasons, that's big. I do think that you're going to be able to get something relatively solid out of Ryan Thompson moving forward, as Thompson last year had a sub-4 ERA. I do think that these guys are going to be much more rock solid than the Colorado Rockies, who they had one good reliever last year, and Brent Suter, he's now out of the fold. Like, you're right now relying upon guys like Jake Bird, Jalen Beeks, Justin Lawrence in the bullpen. I mean, trash, trash, trash when it comes to this bullpen. And then for Kyle Freeland, he's actually seen a little bit of a velocity tick up with regards to his numbers from a season ago, but I mean, he's still, last season, in terms of strikeouts per nine rate, was a bottom five qualifying pitcher. He does pitch a little bit better throughout his career on the road rather than at home, but I mean, he certainly gives up the deep ball no matter where he's at. Last season, his home runs per nine rate was well north of 1.6, going up against Zach Gallen, who I do think that we're going to see a little bit of a fall from him after he last season was a very, very dominant pitcher at home, but he was away from home. Things really did go awry, but I mean, if you took a look at Zach Gallen towards back half of the season, the velocity, it was down for him a little bit. He's had a little bit of a wobbly spring training as well. I do think that for Zach Gallen, he's a little bit exposed here against a Colorado Rockies team that I think that they're going to hit a little bit better first few series of the season rather than towards back half, but this is still an Arizona ballpark that plays a little bit more pitcher-friendly during these parts, so I did set my total at 8.3. I just am not a believer in the Rockies whatsoever, so I'm looking at the under, and with the Arizona Diamondbacks willing to lay up to a minus 120 on this run line. 9:15, 9:16 on the betting board, the Baltimore Orioles, they play out the LA Angels. Patrick Sandoval goes for the Angels, and you've got Corbin Burnes making his Baltimore Orioles debut. With the Orioles, they're between minus 182 to minus 190, between plus 160 and plus 170, your number on the Halos, 7.5 is the total, over and under anywhere between even money and minus 120. So pick your juice accordingly. And I did set it to where I'd be willing to lay up to a minus 102 on this run line of the Orioles. You're finding that between about a plus 110 to a plus 115. Corbin Burnes did experience a little bit of a dip in strikeouts last season, and we've seen that a little bit in spring training as well. I just have zero faith whatsoever in this LA Angels lineup. I'd be mad. Things are rough for them. It's Mike Trout and a whole bunch of dudes. I wish I could put it any other way. Logan O'Hoppe actually had a nice start to the season last year prior to him getting hurt, but you're relying upon guys like Luis Renifo to be able to come through for you. That's not great. Aaron Hicks was able to have a solid season last year after he left New York. Like, with New York, he was just an absolute disaster. When he got over to the Baltimore Orioles, he had a .381 on base. How duplicable is that going to be? Because I feel like that might have been just a little bit of a shot in the arm, flash in the pan sort of situation. I like Taylor Ward, Mickey Moniak, but I mean, this Angels team really came and went with Mickey Moniak. He had a tremendous first, like, 40 or so games. He was ripping home runs. He was hitting north of a 300. And then he went straight down the toilet bowl. And then the Angels went straight down the toilet bowl as well. And for the Angels, I mean, once again, what are you going to be able to get out of the bullpen? They do sign Adam Simber. He had a really, really rough 2023. If you're able to get old Adam Simber, you know what? You might be staring at something, but the Angels staff in general does not get the benefit of the doubt from me. They're looking for a reclamation project out of Luis Garcia as well. Garcia had a nice second half of the season last year, a really rough front half of the season. You're looking at guys like Jose Soriano and company, and for the LA Angels, they're just not going to have the same offense that they've had in past seasons. Meanwhile, with the Baltimore Orioles, they are going to be dealing with the injury that was just so big towards the back half of the season, having Felix Bautista be out of the fold. That is going to be relatively rough, but at the same time, you do have some very capable arms out there in the bullpen. You're not going to have that shutdown closer like you did have before. You have to figure that Yennier Cano is going to be picking that up, and he wasn't quite the same in the closer spot as he was in the eighth inning, and he also signed Craig Kimbrell, which, for the love of Pete, let's try to avoid Craig Kimbrell on opening day, because that's not great to say the least. But I like someone like a C.N.L. Perez, who was able to supply about a 3.5 ERA. Coming out of the bullpen, you got someone like a Jacob Webb, who's able to do a relatively solid job. I've always liked Dylan Tate. I know that he was quite a bit banged up last season. He missed the entirety of the season. Prior to that, had about a 3.05 ERA. But this is an Orioles team that, I mean, they're a real deal hitting machine sort of team. They don't necessarily have that one guy that's going to give you like 35 plus home runs or anything like that. You did have Ryan Mountcastle have a relatively nice back half of the season last year, but like all these guys. They do a solid job reaching base. Cedric Mullins is a former Silver Slugger who he had a little bit of rough go of it last year, but he's able to steal bases. He's able to move line, gives you a little bit of power. Anthony Santander, he was that top home run hitter for the team a season ago, 28 bombs, but he does a nice job being able to reach base. If Jorge Mateo can be a little bit more consistent at the plate, this guy is an absolute speedster. Loved what I saw out of Gunnar Henderson towards back half of the season last year. Very balanced in terms of lefties and righties on this Orioles team as well. And you've got someone in Patrick Sandoval who he's been a very big enigma to me because he's not necessarily too much of a strikeout guy. He walks quite a few. His main forte is keeping the ball in the yard. He gave up about 0.8 home runs per nine innings last season. 2 years ago was very similar for him, but he was able to keep the walks down a little bit more in 2022 rather than 2023. I think that he still has a little bit of upside, but again, with him running up pitch counts in start number one of the season, you have to figure that the leash is going to be thin for him with a supporting cast in the Angels bullpen that is not great. I think that it's going to be rough for our good friends in Los Angeles. I did set it to where I'm pretty much willing to take anything of even money or better with the Orioles run line, so going to be riding with that. I do think that Corbin Burns struggles a little bit here, but I think that the Angels offense is going to struggle even more. So did set my total at 8.4. I'm going to be looking at the over. I do think that the Orioles certainly get to Sandoval and that bad bullpen, so I like the over, and I do like the run line here of Baltimore. 9-17, 9-18 on the betting board. The Houston Astros, they play us the New York Yankees. Nestor Cortes is on the bump for the Yankees, and Framber Valdez is on the bump for Houston. And Houston, anywhere between minus 147, minus 156 favorites, and between plus 130 and plus 142. Your number on the Yankees, 8.5 is the total. Over is minus 120. Under is even. Now, with Framber Valdez, he did struggle quite a bit towards back half of the season last year. I did, as a result, set this number to where I'm willing to lay up to a minus 146 with the Astros. I'm seeing a straight minus 145 coming onto the board right now. That would be my max buy point there. And if you are looking at the Astros run line, you're able to get about a plus 130 to a plus 135. I would just need a little bit more here. Right now, my max buy point on the Astros is minus 145. I personally am going to be letting this marinate. And if we can get to like a plus 145 or something like that with the Yankees, I would probably rather take that because for Nestor Cortes, serious question marks with him coming off of the season that he had last year where he was all sorts of banged up. And for Nestor Cortes, he has not been the same pitcher when he's been away from home rather than when he has been at home because he's done a really good job of being able to hold the ball in the yard at Yankee Stadium. But for Nestor Cortes, he was able to make three starts during the spring. He got quite a bit lit up in those starts, so that's a bit of an issue. But for Framber Valdez, on the flip side, he had a really rough end of the season last year as well. He gave up like 3-plus runs, and I believe it was 11 out of his last 15 starts. So he's not necessarily in great form. And for the Astros, they've got a lot of guys that traditionally start a little bit slow. Like Alex Bregman, every single year is hitting like 225 in the first 2 months of the season before he magically finds it. Now, for Bregman, he actually had a really nice spring. And a lot of these guys in general for the Astros had a really nice spring. Like, I love what I saw out of Yordan Alvarez, who he had some injury concerns towards the season last year, only played in 114 games, but when he was out there was obviously very, very effective. Kyle Tucker is someone that's been able to rise up for the team. You have to wonder if Jeremy Pena is able to get back to the form they had 2 seasons ago. As last year, he only had 10 bombs, but this is an Astros team that they do a solid job moving the line, and they no longer have Martin Maldonado at the catcher spot. You now have much better hitting with Victor Caratini and Yunir Diaz being sort of in that platoon. You have to figure that Diaz gets most of the reps here. He was able to supply 23 home runs last season. And for the Astros, they were number one in the league in terms of bullpen ERA 2 seasons ago. Took a little bit of a step back last season, but they're still going to be rock solid with this regard. So even though I'm not necessarily super high on Framber Valdez, I do think that they're going to be able to hold down the scoring because you've got a very good closer in Ryan Presley. And then on top of that, they signed in the offseason Penn Murphy, who 2 seasons ago when he was healthy for the Seattle Mariners, he was able to supply a sub-3.3 ERA. Heck, you might be able to get quite a bit of production moving forward out of Brian Abreu. I like him out there in the bullpen, and I do think that, in general, these guys are going to be relatively locked down. And the New York Yankees, for as much as we want to poop on them, last season, they were really good with their bullpen. They were a top-5 team in terms of bullpen ERA. They did acquire a few pieces from the LA Dodgers, got Caleb Ferguson in sub-3.5 ERA. They do lose a guy like Awani Peralta from last season, but that said, I do think that this team should be in relatively good form with that bullpen. Tommy Kahnle, Jonathan Loaisiga, these were guys that towards the back half of the season were relatively rock solid. Ian Hamilton, I love the way that he was able to perform sub-3 ERA last season as well. You still have Clay Holmes, who when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. But I do think that the Yankees are actually in relatively good hands towards the bullpen. It's just all about can Nestor Cortes Cortes give you, I'm not even asking for five innings, four relatively okay innings, because once again, the Yankees, as is always the case, they're banged up once again. DJ LeMahieu is going to be out of the fold for this game. They pick up Juan Soto, that is going to be about Aaron Judge, because when Aaron Judge was in the fold last season, this Yankees offense was actually quite good. When he went down with that injury during the early summer months, they went from being like a top three offense in terms of run production when he was out there to the bottom three. Like, he is so impactful for this team. It's not even funny. You've got John Birdie, who's able to move the line a little bit, and Gleyber Torres was halfway decent for this team as well. He had 25 home runs last season. He doesn't deserve a lot of slander, but what are you going to be able to get out of someone like an Oswald Peraza, Trent Grisham the last few seasons ever since he had this triumph against the Milwaukee Brewers? He has been some pretty hot garbage. I actually like Alex Verdugo, but the fact that he's moving within the division tells me that there might have been something up there with the Boston Red Sox as well, so very interesting case. And then the catcher spot, Jose Trevino, Austin Wells, not expecting a lot of them to be able to perform well, so I do think that you've got some good value here on the under. I do think that both of these bullpens are going to be relatively locked down. Starters are a little bit shaky, but here at an 8.5, looking at the under semi-total at 8.1, and for the Houston Astros, willing to lay up to a minus 145 with them. Like I said, if we can exceed a plus 145 on the Yankees, that would begin to be my buy point, but at the time of this recording, I'd be willing to lay that minus 145 that I'm seeing with the Astros, and looking at this total under as well. 919, 920 on the betting board. The Tampa Bay Rays, they play host to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jose Barrios goes for the Jays, and Zach Eflin hopes to not be Eflin awful for the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays are anywhere between minus 127 to minus 135 favorites, anywhere between plus 114 to plus 120, your number on the Jays. 7.5 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 115. The under is anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 110. Want to lay it with the Rays. Set them as a minus 143 favorite. Now, I will give Jose Barrios a little bit of credit. He has, throughout his career, always had very, very big home and road splits. And if you look at his career, for his entire career, he still is posting up an ERA that's about 1.2 points higher when he is away from home rather than when he is at home. But he did a good job of rectifying those last season. But I'm just still not necessarily in on Jose Barrios for one. And for two, this is a Blue Jays team that you do have a few question marks around them as well. Not having Matt Chapman out of the fold, that's going to be hurting them quite a bit. It's all about, can these guys that we were expecting a little bit more out of, like, I mean, for Vlad Guerrero Jr., if you take a look at the year that he had last season, he had a fine year for the standards of players not named Vlad Guerrero Jr., but for Vlad Guerrero Jr., 26 home runs and a 345 on base is a little bit of a disappointment. Bo Bichette, I mean, he has been a consistent hitter for the team, 20 home runs, hit a 300 last season, he was just fine, but what are you going to be able to get on some of these other guys? Like Dalton Varsho had 20 home runs last year, but a 285 on base. Now you're going to be without Brandon Belt as well, someone who he was able to do actually a relatively solid job of reaching base for the team. George Springer, he was a little bit hit or miss for the team as well. Hasn't necessarily been the player that they were hoping they would get when they signed him from Houston. And you got a Tampa Bay Rays team that they do lose quite a bit of that pitching from a season ago. But I mean, this team is just an absolute factory in the way that they're able to manufacture so many of these great relievers. Pete Fairbanks at the closer spot, he's one of the most dominant in all of baseball. Jason Adam had a sub-3.3 ERA. Sean Armstrong came on as a very good relief piece. The former Blue Jay and Jacob Waggies pack, he's probably going to be a relatively solid reliever for the team as well, because the Rays, they just know what the heck they're doing there. And I mean, call it a little bit of blind faith, but I do think that they're going to be able to figure it out. You had Harold Ramirez be one of the best hitters in all of baseball in terms of reaching base last season. Certainly it was a Rays team that they were hot early and then they did fade away towards the back half of the season, but so have guys like Randy Arozarena, Isak Paredes, that do a solid job being able to find a way on base. Paredes was able to give you 31 home runs a season ago. It's one of the better teams in all of baseball. It's just having so many guys that find a way to be able to reach base. Heck, you were able to get about a 290 or so average out of Josh Lowe when he was out there in the fold for the team as well. As I know that he dealt with a few injuries, he was limited to about 130 or so games last season as well. The catcher spot with Ben Rothfeld along with Rene Pinto, that's going to be a little bit of an issue. And the Wander Franco situation, I mean, man, that's just not great, to say the least. But even when Franco was out of the fold, it's not like the offense took some sort of massive setback. And if Jose Siri can be a little bit more consistent with reaching base, I think that you're staring at something. Well, the Blue Jays, they did a nice job towards back half of the season in terms of bullpen, but they did not retain Jordan Nix. They did not get anything out of Adam Simber whatsoever. That's not going to be too much of a loss, as I do like what Chad Green is able to bring to the table. You've got still Trevor Richards, which that's an issue, but Eric Swanson is someone that I do like. I do think that overall, this Blue Jays bullpen, it's going to be solid. It's not going to be like a top five bullpen. I could see them being more like a top 10 bullpen this season. So I do think that with Berríos being able to figure out those home and road splits, it's going to be able to keep things relatively low scoring. I did set my total at 7.2. So here at a 7.5, going to be looking at the under. And a big reason why, Zach Eflin, pretty effing good at home last season. He was able to do a nice job not walking anyone. About 1.2 walks per 9 innings. His home runs per 9 rate was hovering right around 1 as well. He was really able to figure it out last season. I do think that for Zach Eflin, he's going to once again be able to give you a relatively solid performance. He was much better when he was at home rather than when he was on the road last season as well. Last season, he was able to post up an ERA of about a 3.30 at home. He was giving up only about a home run per 9 innings with about 10 punchouts per 9 innings. So I do like this total under, set my total at 7.2, and with the Rays, one delay up to a minus 142 with them. 921-922 on the main board. The Kansas City Royals play us to the Minnesota Twins. Pablo Lopez goes for the Twins, and Cole Reagans is on the bump for the Royals. The Royals are an underdog of between even money and plus 108, meanwhile, and between about a minus 113 to a minus 122 year number on Minnesota. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 7.5, over is minus 115. The under is minus 105 on the 8. The under is minus 120 to minus 125. The over is any between even money and plus 105. And did semi-total at 8.2. I'm looking at the over. And the main reason why is I actually really like both of these starters. Cole Reagans was awesome last season. How far is Cole Reagans going to go? Because the drop-off between starting pitcher and bullpen is about as stark as it gets with the Kansas City Royals. Like, I mean, who's going to be able to hold down any sort of lead for the Kansas City Royals? You've got a bullpen of just straight-up trash. James MacArthur is right now looked at as one of their better relief pieces, who he was able to emerge after he was a failure of a starter last season. But you look at guys like Nick Anderson, they're going to be getting jiggy with it with Will Smith, Chris Strand. I recognize that these guys were a part of the Rangers last season, but if you look at their numbers during the regular season, they weren't very good. I actually really like John Schreiber. John Schreiber was halfway decent with the Boston Red Sox last year, but man, it's going to be tough to hold down leads. And Cole Reagans, you take a look at what he was able to do when he became a starter for the Kansas City Royals, because his overall ERA last season was a 3.47, not great, but when he stepped into the starter's role, 2.64 ERA, he really did not give up a lot of hard contact in general. His home runs per 9 rate was one of the most sterling of any starter out there in the big leagues that had 10 plus starts. But for the Royals, are these young guys finally going to be able to hit? Because you know what you're going to get out of Salvador Perez. He was still able to give the team 23 home runs in a little bit of a limited role last season. They're trying to get him to play a little bit more first base to be able to help preserve him. You've got Hunter Renfro, who's able to give you some home runs, but he could be a little bit of an all or nothing hitter himself. I actually really like what Nelson Velasquez is able to bring to the table. Nice home run hitter, but you saw a lot of guys that they just weren't able to consistently get on base. Bobby Witt Jr., he was able to do a nice job towards back half of the season. Front half of the season, he was not really there. Vinny Pascantino coming back, I think, is absolutely massive as well. He was one of the few guys that could really move the line, was giving you a few home runs, was limited to just 60 games last season as well. So that's going to be very key for this Kansas City Royals team. They're going to be without Michael Massey to begin the season. Then for the Minnesota Twins, this was an all or nothing team. They've got a lot of guys that are able to give you thumping power, but at the same time, can you just get a little bit more on base for this team? Now, the good news is you have one of the best road hitters in all of baseball in the fold, and I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. The four grand slams that we saw out of Royce Lewis last season, as he hit north of a 350 on the road last season. But if you take a look at the guys that were really able to supply the boom last season for the Minnesota Twins, as you had four separate guys give between 18 and 24 home runs, that would be Joey Gallo, who fortunately is no longer in the fold. That's actually a good thing for the Twins. Michael A. Taylor, Max Kepler, Carlos Correa, all these guys, aside from Kepler, at a 230 or lower, and you have to expect that Carlos Correa gives you a little bit more in terms of average. That was just absolutely terrible last year. You have to wonder how much those back issues are really popping up for him, but I do like the fact that in the offseason, they did acquire Christian Vasquez, a catcher who he doesn't hit for a lot of pop, but he finds a way to be able to move the line. Have to wonder how much Carlos Santana has left in the tank as well, but Edouard Julien was one of those guys that was able to move the line a little bit for the team. And if Byron Buxton could stay healthy, like I've talked about this guy for years, if Byron Buxton could ever stay healthy for 162 games, he'd be an MVP candidate. Did not hit for any average whatsoever, but I mean, in the 85 games he played, he had 17 home runs. He runs the field really well. He can steal bases, all that good stuff, but guy just can't stay healthy to save his life. He fortunately is going to be healthy in this game, and it's a Minnesota Twins bullpen that is relatively solid. They bring over Jay Jackson, who I remember he was in the Nippon Baseball League a few seasons ago. I like him in the fold. Yoan Duren is one of the most unhittable closers in all of baseball. Cody Funderburk gave you a lot towards back half of last season. Cale Thielbar was able to step up a little bit. I'm not so bullish on Josh Stamount, but all in all, it's a Twins bullpen that I think is relatively solid. And Pablo Lopez, he had north of 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. If you look at pitchers that really got unlucky in terms of fielding independent versus ERA, Pablo Lopez was one of those prime candidates. I think that he's going to be able to do a rock solid job here. He only gave up about 2.2, 2.3 walks per 9 innings. So I think that you get a nice pitcher's duel to start. And then the Royals, they just poop all over themselves with the bullpen. So I set the Twins at a minus 141. I'm going to be willing to take them on this rather tight line. And with regards to the total, semi-total at 8.2. So whether you've got a 7.5 or an 8, like the over, and I'm going to be willing to lay it with the Twins. 923, 924 on the betting board. The Chicago White Sox play us to the Detroit Tigers. Tarik Skubal is on the bump for the Tigres, and Garrett Kershaw is on the bump for the White Sox. White Sox are an underdog of anywhere between plus 154 to a plus 160. Meanwhile, if you're looking at the Tigers, it's anywhere between minus 170 to minus 185. 7.5 is the total. Over is minus 115. The under is minus 105. I am all aboard the Tigers being better this year than they were a season ago. Minus 170, though? Like, this has gone too far. I'm going to be willing to take the plus price here with the White Sox. Set it at a plus 124. Garrett Kershaw performed quite well in spring. Now, it's a massive boost for him because he's going from being a situational relief arm to now being a starter. His pitch count is not going to be the most extensive in the world. I feel very confident in saying that he only threw 9 innings during spring, but the innings that he did throw, the strikeout numbers were certainly there, and I do think that this is a move overall that is going to pan out for them. Now, what you're going to be able to get out of the White Sox bullpen, that is another question, as this White Sox bullpen last year, man, it was not good to say the least, and you're going to be looking at probably someone like a Tanner Banks to be able to give you some solid innings. Tuki Toussaint, you hope that they send him back to the bullpen because, man, he was not good as a starter. Jimmy Lambert, guys like this, I mean, they're just complete scrubs. I wish I could put it any other way, but for the Detroit Tigers, it's not like you've got some sort of an amazing bullpen. They were about a league average bullpen last year, like Tyler Holton, Jason Foley, Will Vest. I mean, these are fine pitchers. They pick up Shelby Miller in the offseason, failure of a starter, bullpen piece, just fine. But for the Detroit Tigers, are we sure that this team is really going to be able to elevate in terms of their offense? I don't think that they're going to be as bad as they were a season ago. And you can tell that towards back half of the season last year, Tigers were able to find a little bit with their offense, but the entire catcher spot, Jake Rogers, Carson Kelly, these guys are awful. And Javi Baez, talk about a waste of money. Man, this guy's been terrible. But Spencer Torkelson, back half of the season, was able to finish up the year with 31 home runs. He was as hot as anyone in the final few months of the season. Riley Green is someone that does a solid job moving the line. Really like what I saw to Carey Carpenter last season as well. And I do think that the pickup of Mark Canna, very good to help out some of these guys like Parker Meadows and company, be able to find their way. I do think that that's big, but still feels like a very incomplete lineup. While you've got a Chicago White Sox team that certainly they leave a lot to be desired. I mean, the catcher spot of Corey Lee and Martin Maldonado, good grief. That's rough. Paul DeJong, if he's able to find what he had a few seasons ago, you're looking at something. If it's the Paul DeJong of the last few years, that's not going to be great. They pick up Andrew Benintendi, who, I mean, he's a guy that's able to move the line, and that's what you need for the Chicago White Sox, because you still have someone like an Eloy Jimenez. You've got Luis Robert. These are guys that still have some pop. In the case of Robert, he certainly is able to move the line for you. Gavin Sheets, I'm waiting to see what we're able to get out of him. After last year, it was just an absolutely deplorable showing, but that's said, still a guy that can be able to make a bit of an impact. Yoan Moncada, when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. So you got a little bit of a roll of the dice White Sox team there. And for Tarik Skubal, he was limited to just 15 starts last season. In those starts, was very rock solid, but you have to figure that the Tigers are going to be taking a very, very, shall we say, kid's glove approach with him, because in his first 5 starts of the season last season, he went either 4 or 5 innings. He did not exceed that. His strikeout numbers were relatively good, but I just don't think that he's going to be out there very long. I think that he's going to be out there a little bit longer than Crochet. His strikeout numbers are amazing. He doesn't really give up a lot of home runs, and for Tarik Skubal, it was very interesting to take a look at his home and road splits a season ago as well, because while the overall numbers were great, he was able to supply the team with a sub-3 ERA. He really was one of those guys that did benefit quite a bit from pitching out there in the city of of Detroit when he was on the road, he did have a little bit of a struggle as well, and that's something that does stand out to me. I do think that the Tigers deserve to be favorites, but them at a minus 175 here, I think that we've just gone a little bit too far, and I do think that this is a case where Scooble, those home and road splits where he had an ERA that was darn near 4 last season away from home, that's going to be haunting him just a little bit. So I'm going to be willing to take the plus price here with the White Sox. Did set my total at an 8.1 as well. I do think that both of these starters are going to be able to do a solid job, but I just don't think that they're long for this game. So with expecting a lot of bullpen innings, I'm going to be looking at the over and the plus price here with the White Sox. 925, 926 on the betting board. It is the Oakland A's, and they play out to the Cleveland Guardians. With the Guardians, it is Shane Bieber who takes the mound. Meanwhile, Alex Wood is on the bump for Oakland. Oakland is a underdog of anywhere between plus 136 to a plus 147, anywhere between minus 154 to minus 162. Your number on Cleveland, 7.5 is the total. Under is minus 120, and the over is even. Semi-total is 7.3. I'm going to be willing to take a look at the under, but I'm actually going to be willing to take the plus price here with the Oakland A's. I needed at least a plus 138 to take a shot. This Oakland A's team, I don't think it's going to be profitable for the season. And man, it's an Oakland A's team that it's still very much rough around the edges. But I just think that this is a little bit of a, shall we say, overprice on Shane Bieber. We're still looking at Shane Bieber, the guy that won the Cy Young Award a few seasons ago. And for Shane Bieber, strikeout numbers were way down last year. He was getting only about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. But if you do take a look at spring, he was looking a little bit better than he did during the 2023 regular season. That said, it is a Cleveland Guardians team that they do have some question marks. They did let go a few bullpen pieces from a season ago, Angel De Los Santos being one of the main one of them. So you've got James Garinchek, you've got Emmanuel Clase. That is an 8th and 9th inning duo that is absolutely tremendous. But guys like Scott Barlow and company, are they going to be able to fill the void? Meanwhile, you've got an Oakland A's team that they signed a few veterans in the offseason, and a few of these guys I actually think are going to be halfway okay. Scott Alexander is an okay bullpen piece for the team. TJ McFarland, he's someone that I think is going to be able to supply in this bullpen. After last year, it was relatively awful for him. If he can get back to that 2021 form where he had a sub-2.6 ERA, you're looking at something. Danny Jimenez was actually relatively solid in this bullpen as well. And for the Oakland A's, they do have a few guys in the lineup that I think could be able to pop this year. Zach Galofe was actually very good for this team towards back half of the season last year. Got someone in J.D. Davis who was able to supply 18 home runs while he was playing out there in San Francisco, one of the best pitchers' ballparks out there in the big leagues. J.J. Bleday is someone that's young. He's able to give you a bit of production. And Miguel Andujar, yes, the same Miguel Andujar who was with the New York Yankees for all those years, was able to really pop during the 2018 season, has had absolutely no success ever since then. They're looking to a reclamation project out of him, and I do think that that could be able to work out against a Cleveland Guardians team that, once again, pitching is very good for this team. The offense leaves a lot to be desired. I love Jose Ramirez. He's able to provide you with a lot of power. Who else for the team gives you any sort of power threat whatsoever? Bo Naylor is a catcher that is on the rise. I like what he's able to bring to the table, and you do have guys that are able to hit some singles, like Andrés Giménez 2 seasons ago was hitting north of a 270. Stephen Kwan is able to do a solid job, be able to move the line as well, but you're relying upon guys like Will Brandon and company to find a way to be able to reach base. I think that this is a low-scoring slog, and I do think that with the Oakland A's, they have a chance to be able to seal this one with a guy in Alex Wood that fully recognized that he didn't have the world's greatest year last year, a 4.33 ERA, but that said, with Alex Wood, he does a relatively solid job keeping the ball in the yard, giving up less than home run per 9 innings. Now he's out there in Oakland, which is going to really be able to amplify that a little bit more. Needs to cut down on the walks. He had about 3.7, 3.8 walks per 9 innings, but going up against the Guardians team that really doesn't have a lot of power, I actually think that this is a halfway decent matchup for Alex Wood along with that bullpen. So anything of a plus 138 or higher, taking a look at the Oakland A's on the money line. Semi-total is 7.3, so here at the 7.5, also diving under. 927, 928 on the betting board. The Seattle Mariners, they play out to the Boston Red Sox. Brian Bello is on the bump for the Red Sox. Meanwhile, Luis Castillo is on the bump for Seattle. Seattle is a favorite of between minus 170 to minus 180. Anywhere between plus 145 to a plus 156 is your number on Boston. 7.5 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is anywhere between even and minus 110. And set the Mariners minus 172 on the money line. If you're looking at the run line price of them, you're able to get laying a run and a half about a plus 125 or so, and that's where I'm looking on this one. I needed at least a plus 122 to take a shot on the Mariners. Wouldn't be willing to take much less than the plus 125 that we're seeing right now, but I'm willing to take the plus 125, and I actually really like Brian Bayo. Brian Bayo was awesome last year for the Boston Red Sox. He's got a really good changeup. The 4.24 ERA, in my opinion, did not speak to how well he actually pitched. He is going to give up a little bit of hard contact, giving up about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. But that said, that was out there in Boston. And now you're pitching out there in Seattle, one of the best pitcher's ballparks in all baseball. And expect him to give a good performance here. But the question becomes, what are you going to be able to get out of a Boston Red Sox bullpen that just quite frankly has not been too great in recent years? They are now without John Schreiber. He left in the offseason. You're looking at Isaiah Campbell needing to give you some good innings. He was actually with Seattle last year, and he did have a sub-3 ERA. So got a little bit of upside there. Chris Murphy is someone that I've liked in this bullpen from time to time, but you could tell that he had his issues towards back half of the season as well. They're picking up Greg Weisert as well, and then when it comes to the actual lineup itself for the Boston Red Sox, certainly you do have some capable bats out there. They pick up Vaughn Grisham, who I think that with just being able to play every day, that's going to be big. And Rafael Devers, he's one of the best hitters that you're going to find in all of baseball, but got a lot of question marks for this team. Are you going to see Jaron Duran be able to pick up where he left off last season when he was very solid at being a reach base? Trevor Story, he was awful when he was out there last season. He's had a nice spring. Is he going to be able to duplicate that? Bobby Dalbec, very much a hit or miss guy in general, and I think that the Red Sox might have as much volatility as any lineup out there in all of baseball. Meanwhile, you've got a guy in Luis Castillo. He's done a really nice job of being able to work on his walks. Last year, in terms of walks per 9 rate, that was more around about 2.6, 2.7, and for Castillo, he pitches in one of the best pitcher's ballparks in all baseball. He does a nice job of being able to just lessen the home run ball in general when he's at home. Overall, did give up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, and you can tell that towards back half of the season, he did have a few fumbles in general, but he is backed up by a Seattle Mariners team that they just have found a way to manufacture bullpen pieces. I mentioned the fact that Campbell is now on the Boston Red Sox, but that said, you just take a look at these guys, like Andrés Muñoz. They pick up the top reliever of the Chicago White Sox, and Gregory Sanchez. Tyler Cicado had a really nice year last season. Great Gabe Spire was solid. Matt Brash is able to just blow you away. You've got so many good players in this bullpen that I think are really going to be able to hold it down, with both of these guys being on a relatively limited pitch count in terms of Brian Bayo and Luis Castillo. And then for the Mariners, they found their offense a little bit more towards back half of the season last year. Cal Raleigh is never going to hit for a great average, but he was able to spy 30 home runs in what is very much a pitcher's ballpark. Mitch Haniger, welcome back, Padres. He has been in and out for the Seattle Mariners the last few seasons, but he's had some great success for them. Julio Rodriguez, he was able to 30-plus home runs and had a really nice second half of the season. I think that he's going to be able to translate that and right away hit the ground running, be able to give the team a nice little spark. And Dominic Canzone, someone who they picked up in a trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks last season. When he came over with the Seattle Mariners initially, had a nice spark. It did wear off towards back half of the season, but with a full season in Seattle, I think that he's going to be able to pop. You've got someone like Ty France, who does a solid job moving the line along, J.P. Crawford, and for the Seattle Mariners, I just think that they're the more complete team, and with the Red Sox dealing with that injury to Vaughn Grisham as well, so one of the guys that they were banking on being on the fold to begin the season, I think that that's going to be a little bit rough. Now Seattle, they're dealing with their injuries of their own. I believe that you're going to have both Matt Brash and Gregory Santos probably going to be out of the fold for this bullpen, but you still have so much pitching depth with the Seattle Mariners. I do think that they win a game where both of these starters, I think, are going to be able to give you a relatively strong effort. So did set my total 7.2 here at the 7.5, looking at the under with Seattle. Willing to take the run line with them, need at least a plus 123 to be able to do so. And we wrap things up with my DK Network right pick. This is 929-930 on the card. It is the Walker Texas Rangers playing us to the Chicago Cubs, as the Man of Steel, Justin Steele, goes for the Cubs. Nathan Eovaldi is on the bump for Texas, and Texas is back to being a slight favorite. You're finding them between minus 115 to a minus 120, between minus 102 to plus 105. Your number on Chicago. Total on this game is 8. The over is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120. The under is anywhere between even and minus 110. And right up here is going to be on the Rangers. I'm willing to bank on them. I set them as a minus 144 favorite, and biggest reason why. You take a look at Nathan Eovaldi and what he did prior to him, getting injured towards back half of the season. First 19 starts of the season, he was looking like one of the best pitchers in the American League and a fringe Cy Young candidate. Posting up a 2.69 ERA, 0.6 home runs, 2.5 walks per 9 innings. His fielding independent was relatively solid. He always does a solid job when his fastball velocity is up, and it was very much up in spring training. So I'm willing to bank on him in this start. Now, you've got Justin Steele, who was one of the best pitchers in the National League last year. Gave up 0.7 home runs per 9 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1.9 walks per 9 innings, 3.06 ERA, but he did have his fumbles on the road. That home runs per 9 rate went up to about 1.1 when he left Chicago, 3.66 ERA. That's a little bit of an issue, and you've got a Rangers bullpen that is fortified from what they were a season ago. They bring in David Robertson, they bring in Kirby Yates. That was the main issue that you had with the Rangers last season. During the regular season, 24th in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. You get out guys like Chris Stratton and company, and I think that that's going to be massive. Going up against the Cubs team, then, they were right around 13th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA, and they've got some relatively solid bullpen pieces. Like, I do think that moving forward, you're going to be able to get some good production out of Julian Merriweather, who, on the road, he was very good at not allowing home runs in general. You have to be thinking that Yancy Almonte plays quite a bit of a role for the team as well. Jose Kwas was someone that was solid towards the, I would say, all months except for really September. September, things fell apart for him, but all in all, he's a relatively good bullpen piece. Hector Neris, he was someone that was solid for the Houston Astros for quite a few seasons. And for the Cubs, they're solid at moving the line away from home. They were a top 10 team with regards to road batting average. Nico Horner, Nick Madrigal, not guys that are going to give you a ton of power, but they do a good job of being able to reach base. Christopher Morel, he had his very, very good year last year. 26 home runs, did a solid job hitting for about a 250 or so. And then you re-sign Cody Bellinger, who had a nice start to the season last year, was relatively rough in the middle, and then he was able to get on that massive burner run after the All-Star break. Dansby Swanson is obviously able to give you power, but this Cubs lineup, it just doesn't compare to what you're able to get on the Rangers at home. Now, the Rangers away from home are a below-average team with regards to hitting home runs, but this Rangers team at home, they led the American League in terms of both runs per game at darn near 7 per contest and home runs per game. You've got just so many fearsome bats in this lineup. When you've got Corey Seager rocking and rolling, he hit north of a 325 during the regular season. His home runs on a per at-bat basis was hitting a home run every, I would say, about like 12 and a half, 13 or so at-bats. That was incredible. Marcus Semien does a nice job, giving you 350 on base. He's able to supply you 29 home runs. You had Nathaniel Lowe do a solid job with his 360 on base. Heck, Leody Taveras, Josh Young, these are guys that did a solid job being able to move the line. Ezekiel Duren finds way on base, and pretty much all these guys, aside from Travis Jankowski last season, they were all able to give you a double-figure amount of home runs. Adolis Garcia had 39 home runs. He's become a much more consistent hitter for this Rangers team as well. I'm willing to bank on the firepower of this Rangers team, and the fact that we've seen Mr. Nathan Eovaldi look as solid as he has during the offseason, I think it's very encouraging. So this is a spot where my write-up, it is going to be banking on the Rangers, hanging up a banner, giving you a good effort night number one. So I'm going to make the write-up the Rangers on the money line, willing to lay up to a minus 143 there. And did somebody total at 8.6? The Rangers were such a good over team at home last season. I think that they're going to continue to hit in their friendly confines. So looking at the over and my write-up, that is on the Rangers. And that wrap things up for the Thursday opening day edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Big thanks to William Bohr of Action Network for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at TuneIn_41. Keep in mind, letters here, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. So I'll be with you guys once again tomorrow and all throughout this wonderful season. So thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.